Let us pray and we will get into the word for today. Father God, I want to thank you again for the time that you have afforded us to congregate, Lord God, in your presence. Though we may not all be together physically, Lord God, I pray that your spirit, Lord God, would envelop every one of us who's listening today, Father God. Draw us in that we might hear your voice, that we might hear what you're speaking to us, Lord God, individually and collectively. I pray, Father God, that we will have ears to hear you and you only. I pray, Lord God, that we would be a people, Lord God, who would hear to obey, hallelujah, hear to do what you say. Father, I just thank you for the Holy Spirit. I thank you for the Holy Spirit. Thank you for Jesus, our Lord and Savior. In Jesus' name I pray, and I give thanks for your living word. Amen. You know, I don't even know how to start today, because when I woke up this morning, I came out of my sleep preaching. And I came out of my sleep preaching that the word of God brings eternal change to the heart that embraces and believes it. And it's like the message started out with me talking about how God had given us the law of Moses. And then our Sunday school class today was illustrating how the law of Moses came not to save us, not to change us, but to show how desperately we needed salvation, to show how desperately wicked we were. And so as I listened to the Sunday school class, I thought about an illustration God gave me the other day about temporary change. And I thought about a facelift. When we get a facelift, we get our face lifted to get rid of the wrinkles and to make our skin tight. And when we put makeup on our face, we're trying to hide blemishes and we're trying to enhance our looks. And when our hair is turning gray, we color it so that it will give us a youthful appearance. So facelift, makeup, hair color, all of those things are cosmetic changes. They're only temporary changes. They're to give us a youthful look that is really not there. As a matter of fact, the facelift does nothing to stop the aging process. Underneath that skin that's been tightened is a body that is still getting old, that is still losing its firmness, skin that is still getting saggy and droopy, skin that is aging. We can't stop aging simply by cosmetic changes. Pretty soon, I probably shouldn't say this, but here I go. I'm always saying something I shouldn't say. Pretty soon, they start looking like monsters because you got this tight, they look like... Okay, I'm wrong. Okay, but it does no permanent change. It is the point that I'm making. What the aging process is still taking place. And so when I think about the law of Moses, it wasn't given to us to bring change. It was given to us to keep us until Jesus Christ came. It brought restraint. It brought discipline to a certain point, but it didn't bring the change that man needed. We died. And the only way to live again is that our sin had to be paid for so that we could be released from the debt and then brought to the place where we can now live again unto God. And God did that in Jesus Christ. And so Jesus came to give us new life, not to give us the hair, not to give us a facelift, not to color our hair that's really gray. He came to give us new life. And so I want to talk to you today about those things, because when I came up out of my sleep, I was preaching new life as opposed to having something temporary. Jesus came to give us something eternal, something that would carry us from now throughout the ages, unending life, bountiful life, so much life that it's big and it's powerful and it outweighs where we live today. And so in Romans chapter 12, 1 and 2, I'm going to begin there, and then I'm going to turn over to Psalm 19. Romans 12, 1 and 2 says, I beseech you therefore, brethren. I beseech you therefore, brethren. I beg you, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice. If God is saying, I beg you, that means there's a plea going on here. A plea to come away from where you are and to come and know real life. Don't settle for less than what God has given us. And you know, we have a tendency to settle for less than best. If we've had things so hard or so bad, we'll just settle for things changing. But God is just not talking about a temporary change. God is talking about having an eternal change. So he begs us. He says, I beg you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service or your reasonable worship. And why is he saying, make your body a sacrifice? Because when we are born again into the kingdom of God, our spirit man, our inner man, the spirit in us is changed, but our body still has sin in it. So you've got to drag it along and you've got to place it on the altar. You've got to say, I know what you're feeling. I know what you want, but we're not doing that today. We're not having that today. Be quiet. Shut up. I'm not going that way. We're going with God. And so you're dragging it to the altar and you're saying you're dead anyway. Now lay there and be a sacrifice. You're already dead. You're against God anyway. Your natural man is the enemy of God, according to Romans chapter 8. Your natural man does not want what God wants for you. And that's why you had to be born again. And that's why we're having to renew our minds. Let's read the second verse here. I just believe that God is saying, come on, church. This is not about visiting me for moments at a time. This is not about coming to church and having a few moments of worship and then going back to what you do. It's not about singing the song or praying the prayer that everybody hears and gives you a pat on the back and say, oh, didn't you pray? Oh, didn't you sing? Oh, didn't you preach today? It's more than that. The song is carrying a message. The preaching is carrying a message. And the message is that we need to give ourselves to God completely so that he can make us again into the people that he's really called us to be. Listen to verse 2. And be not conformed to this world. Don't pattern your life after this world. This world is going totally opposite the direction that God is going. You've got to paddle upstream, so to speak, because the world is all against God and you can easily get caught up in the tide. You can easily get caught up in the rush of the water. I was looking at a movie the other day where this guy was in a boat and he didn't want to live. So rather than go against the Niagara, the rush of the water, the Niagara Falls, he just let the boat go. He turned the engine off rather than letting the engine run and pull him away from going over in the falls. He turned the engine off and he went with the fall. Sometimes we can get caught up and hear so much of what this world is doing and start to, God help us, believe it, because we're not changed as much as we should be, and we'll start to go with the flow. No! We're to paddle upstream. Keep the engine on that boat, because it's going to carry you away from the rush of the water, from the rush of this world that's going in the wrong way. We have to go with God if we are going to live, if we are going to know life with him after this. You know, one of the saddest things that I ever hear is everybody, when people die, no matter what kind of life they're living, whether they've acknowledged God with their life or not, we put them all in heaven. That's sad. Because God says only those who are willing and obedient will eat the good of the land. Only the willing and the obedient will taste the life that he has for them. Only the willing and the obedient will experience eternity with God. Only the willing and the obedient. Not those who consent with their heads. Yeah, man, that's right. Amen. Glory to God. Hallelujah. And then we turn around and we do something else. God is calling for total change. And the only way that's going to happen, number one, is we're going to lay our bodies down. We're going to say, here, you're dead and you need to consent to the will of God for you. And then we're not going to be conformed to this world. We're going to say no to the world and we're going to say yes to the ways of God. And the only way for me to know God's way as opposed to what the world is saying is for me to get into this word. For me to know what this Bible says. I have to know what the word of God says to me. Allow the Holy Spirit make it alive to me. I don't know who I'm preaching to today beside myself. But I'm preaching to somebody who needs to know halfway won't do. A little bit of your way and some of God's way won't do. It has to be God's way all the way. You cannot claim Jesus Christ if your heart is far from him. Jesus even said that there would be people who would say his name, people who would call him Lord, people who would say that he's the King of Kings, but their hearts were never in it. Don't be one of those people. I don't know why God got me out of my sleep preaching this. But somebody needs to hear it today. It was just me. I don't know. But he woke me up. I came up out of my sleep and I was preaching Jesus Christ and him crucified. Change, eternal change. Not for a moment, not here for a moment and there for a moment, but walking with God and paddling up the stream. Knowing that it's going to take effort, it's not just going to fall in your lap. You're going to have to put some effort to this thing. You're going to have to do this thing. Amen. But listen, verse 2 says, and be not conformed to this world. Don't take on the ways that are contrary to the ways of God. God has a way. And the only way to know that way is to find out what his word says. He says, but be ye transformed, changed into another. By the renewing of your mind. And I want you to know that renewing is not a makeover of the mind so much as it's returning the mind to its original state. Before the fall, what God intended from the beginning, which means that the mind is going to be cleansed from anything that would separate us from the will of God. That would separate us from God's original design for us. It will cleanse you of ways that will cause you to walk away from God and do your own thing, be your own God. It will cleanse you of those ways and will impart to you God's way and will cause you to know that there is only one way to live and there is only one way to life, and his name is Jesus Christ. So he says, be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. There is the perfect will of God. I hear people say all the time, and I don't want you to write me. I don't need you to say anything about this. God's permissive will. There's only one will of God. There's only one will of God. God, yes, will let you go ahead and do what you do, but that doesn't mean it's his will. God's will is that we be holy. God's will and God's command is that we be like him. God's original intent for your life is that you would be God-shaped, is that you would be God like God. And so if that's his original intent, then he doesn't have a permissive will for you to be something else. I'm just saying. I'm not going to argue with you, so you don't need to write me. You don't need to give me any of your comments. Don't care. Don't care because God has one will and it's perfect. And that's that we be like him. Will God allow you to go your way? Yes, he will. But that doesn't mean it's his will. There is a difference. And so we're not to be conformed to this world. We're to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. And being transformed, we will be individuals who will be walking and living pleasing to God. We will be people who will be not arguing with the will of God for our lives and trying to make up our own rules as we go, but we'll be people who will say it is God's way and I will work until I want it God's way. If we allow the Holy Ghost, he will shape our lives and he will shape us in such ways that we will want what God wants for us. Even if you don't want to, God will give you the want to. That's the most powerful thing to me. That even if I start out not wanting to, God will give me the want to. I want to read to you from Psalm 19. The first few verses are powerful about how great and how glorious God is, and how this very universe, from the least of particle of dust to the majestic mountains, declare the bigness and the wonder of God's person. And then he goes on to tell us about the word that comes from that God who created the very universe, this very universe that says that the Lord is God. You know, it's amazing to me that some people say, well, I don't know that God is God. Honey, the sun and the moon and the stars will tell you that he's God. The ants on the ground will tell you that he's God. The flowers that bloom will tell you that he's God. My God, the very mountains and the seas will tell you that he's God. Hello, somebody. Creation will tell you that the Lord is God. And then after telling us the Lord is God, then he goes on and he tells us, listen to this, that the word of the Lord, the law of the Lord is perfect. So let's read this. From a perfect God, from a complete God, we get this word. And here's what I want to talk to you about. I want to show you that it's not even anything that you'll do on your own, but it's the word of God that you believe that will do the changing in your life. You see, God's word is alive. If you don't hear anything else today, hear this. God's word is living, and this living word will make you alive. Alive to God in such a way that you will walk where he leads you. You will talk and speak the things that would be pleasing to God. Listen to this. The law of the Lord is perfect or complete, converting the soul. Again, I want to stop and I want to say what converting means. Converting literally means that the word of the Lord will change your mind in such a way that your mind will return to what God originally intended it to be. There will be no questions about who God is left. There will be no questions about whether God loves me or not. There will be no questions about your existence. There will be no questions about, am I worthy or not? You know, some of us don't even know that we're worthy because of things that have happened in life and because of things that people have said to us or things that we've done ourselves. We don't even know our worth. We don't even know our value. See, the word of God is going to change those doubts. It's going to change those fears. It's going to remove from you those things that would contest the will of God for your life. It's going to remove from you those things that would make you think, I can just do this anyway and it'll all be okay if it's not the will of God. It's going to change all of that. It converts your soul till your thinking is so one with God, so perfectly intertwined with the thinking of God, till you'll be like Adam at the beginning. He didn't have to ask God what to name anything. He just started naming. It'll take all the wondering, W-O-N-D-E-R-I-N-G, and the W-A-N-D-E-R-I-N-G out of your life. No more wandering here and wandering there and wondering what. The word of God is perfect. It's complete. It lacks nothing. It has everything in it to give you the what you need to be made whole, to be made one who says yes to the Lord. Not sometimes, but every time. Not here and there, but every time. It will convert you and change you so till you will lay yourself at God's feet and say, here I am, Lord, do with me as you please. Here I am, God. It will bring you to the point where you can see how blatantly wrong and how blatantly defiant and how blatantly rebellious you have been in this life. But it won't leave you there. It's going to give you what you need to now be obedient and to love the Lord. And so he says, the law of the Lord is perfect, complete, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure. It's a sure support. It's a firm support, making wise the simple. That's why I said even the least of us can understand the gospel. You know, there's sometimes that I wonder, Why don't we get this? Why don't we get this? And the Bible says that even the simplest mind can get it. Even the mind that we think is not even what we would call normal, we would call that person handicapped as far as their minds are concerned, or we would call them people who have learning disabilities. Let me put it like that. Even the mind that has a learning disability can get the law of the Lord and can understand the word of God. Why? Because God would not be right if he didn't make it available to all of us. You know, I think I told you the story one time of this girl who was in an institution because she was born. And as far as they could see, she couldn't learn. She couldn't know anything. She couldn't understand anything. And then she was like in a catatonic state all of her 20 years of her life. As a matter of fact, the doctors had said she would only live to be a child, that she would never see be an adult. And she was 20 years old when she did finally say something. But all of her life, she never said anything. She never did anything. She never followed people with her eyes. She would, wherever they placed her head or wherever her eyes were staring, in that moment, that's where she was looking. If they turned her head this way, then that's where she was looking. If they did it, that's where she was looking. Whichever way her eyes, her head was turned, that's where her eyes focused. She never looked at anybody, never gave any indication that she knew what anybody was ever saying to her. Never. And then on the day that she died, her doctor walked into her room to examine her that day. And she was singing songs of Zion. She was singing songs of salvation. And she was singing songs about going home to be with her Lord. He could not believe what he was hearing. And he went to get someone to witness what was going on. And they stood there and they listened to her sing. And they listened to her sing until she sang the last song. And she closed her eyes and she was gone home to be with the Lord. Nobody ever knew that she could learn. So what am I saying? Even the simplest ones among us, even those that we think would never get this, will get it. Why? Because God has designed his word in such a way that it will reach any heart. Any heart. Bypass any problem with any mind. Make the mind capable of understanding God. Sometimes we say, well, I just don't understand. The Holy Spirit, my God, with the power of God's word, will reshape you so in such a way in your mind till you will understand everything that he's saying and you will know what he means for you. Amen. And so he says, the statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. You know what he's saying? When we really do grasp what God is saying, there is a joy and a rejoicing, there is a gladness down on the inside of you. We used to have this one lady at our church, used to say, I got the glad down on the inside of me. It will just make you just glad. You know, even in those moments when there's no reason to be glad, there's a knowing that God is with you. There's a knowing that God is keeping you. There's a knowing that God has told you the truth. There's a knowing that you have purpose beyond your hard times, purpose beyond the moments in your life when things don't seem to be going right, purpose that's greater than your past, purpose than anything that anybody else thinks about you, purpose that is more than where you are right now. And you'll know that and you'll just have a glad down in you in your hardest day. In the day of your deepest sorrow, there will be a glad in you to know, this is not the end of me. This is not all there is for me. Oh, I pray to God that you're here today, that you're here today, even today, realize that God is reshaping your mind. If you will hear what I'm saying today, the Holy Ghost will bend you in such a way and mold you in such a way till you'll say, where in the world have I been? It's God's will, not mine. I am the sheep of his pasture. It is God that hath made me and not me myself. I didn't make me. That's what you got to know this. You didn't create you and you didn't come as evolving out of some strange looking creature either. God made you who you are. You didn't evolve from anything. God made you from the dust of the earth and blew the breath of life into you. your nostrils and you became a living soul. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold. Sweeter also than honey and the honeycomb. Listen, he's saying the word of the Lord, the word of the Lord, the word of the Lord is forever. The word of the Lord is going to outlast any tragedy in your life. It's going to outlast any moments in your life that you think are great and they have nothing to do with the word of God and the will of God for your life. The word of the Lord endures forever and will cause you to live forever. 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 Yeah. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter also than honey in the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is the servant warned, and in keeping of them there is great reward. And so, right in the middle of God telling about his glory and who he is and the power of his word, he wants to warn us and he wants to say to us, listen, I will keep you even in danger. I will keep you away from the thing that would harm you. I will keep you away from the thing that would take you away from me. God is calling us to him. Oh my God. There is a call to the bosom of God. There is a call to the heart of God that the real believer is going to hear in this day. We are not going to look at the darkness of this day and allow it to determine how we'll live. We will live according to the instruction of the eternal word of God. This word is going to bring us through every situation in life. Every situation, good or bad, is going to bring us through and bring us into God's eternal plan for us. Gradually, day by day, moment by moment, God is forming you for eternity. He says, moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them, there is great reward. So when we do what God tells us to do, we'll be rewarded with what? Life. An abundant life. With what? Peace. Joy. Oh, my goodness. Living with God throughout eternity. My goodness. Seeing Jesus. You know, when I was living, they say the streets of heaven are paved with gold. I used to say, oh, I can't hardly wait to see the gold. And then I grew and I found out, I just want to see him. I just want to see him. The streets are insignificant. Be nice, but I promise you, seeing him, oh my God, seeing God, being with him, that's it. Listen, church. He says, who can understand his errors? Cleanse thou me from secret faults. He said, I don't know my ways, God, but you do. Keep back thy servant also from presumptuous sins. Let them not have dominion over me. Then shall I be upright, and I shall be innocent from the great transgression. And so after declaring what the word will do, then he says, oh, so God, I need you. I need you to keep me. I need you to cleanse me. I need you to clean my heart. As the psalmist says in Psalm 51, give me a clean heart. Oh God, make me again as it seems good to you. Jeremiah 18. Oh God, make me be the person that is in your likeness and your image. Oh God, that I might walk worthy of the calling that you've placed upon me. I need you to keep me, Father God. You have called me from death unto life. You have translated me, Lord God, from darkness to light. Oh God, that I might walk in the light, that I might not stumble, that I might walk in the daylight and see my way, Father God, as you light the way for me. Oh God, let your word be a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my pathway. Oh God, help me to hide your word in my heart, that I might not sin against you. Oh God, I pray that you would be the one who would surround me on every side. I thank you, Lord God, that your name is a strong tower and I can run into your name and I can be safe there. I thank you, dear Lord, that though this world around me is shaking, you are my solid foundation. If the very earth breaks up completely and just travels into out of darkness, I will stand firm because you are my rock. Oh God, that we would be that people. That we would be that people that would hear you today and know that this is not a temporary thing that you've set us. This is not a temporary journey that you've set us upon, Father God. But this is eternal. This is enduring. Oh God, keep me that I might not transgress. And then he said, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. O Lord, my strength and my redeemer. Dear God, you're my strength. Dear God, you're my redeemer. I pray, Lord God, that you would put a watch on my mouth. I pray, God, that you would put a watch on my mouth. Lord God, that you would control the meditation of my mind. That you, Lord God, would fill my heart and my mind with words, Lord God, to meditate upon, that I might be pleasing in your sight. Why? Because we're going to live with God forever throughout eternity. God woke me up preaching this morning, that we need to allow his word. Because in the back of my mind, what I could hear was, the word of God in the believing heart will make us people who will be forever changed and forever like God. So it's not about Sunday morning, yay, yay, amen, Wednesday night, prayer meeting, oh God, hear me. But we're talking about life. We're talking about living this thing. You know, I don't know all of God's purposes and all of God's plans. I don't know that. But I know this, that ultimately God is crying out for a people that will come to him and allow him to be their God. God is to be the joy of your heart, the joy of your salvation. God is calling his people to his bosom. Won't you come today and lay yourself at the altar of God and say, here I am. Dear God, there is so much that needs to be changed in me. And don't be overwhelmed by that, because God is not. He has seen all that needs to be done. He has seen what will be done. He's seen the other side of this. He's seen a people who comes forth in blazing glory. A people who at the coming of Jesus Christ will be even as the Lord himself is. Full of glory. Full of beauty. Full of holiness. A peaceful people. A people not at odds with God in any sense of the word. He has seen a people who have been so changed that they don't look anything like they did when they were broken and empty and dejected and hated. He has seen a people who were hateful and hating being changed into a people who are full of brightness, only light, no darkness, no shadow of turning in you, because you are like your God. We're on our way somewhere. It's not about just today, certainly not about yesterday, but it's about where God's taking us. Yesterday had its place. Today has its place. Tomorrow is where we're headed, to that bright future with God. But to get there with him, we're going to have to allow his word to take root in our hearts, so much so that the Christ would rise up and live big in us. Because the idea is that Jesus would be rooted in our hearts. The Christ, the anointed one, would be rooted on the inside of us. And as he grows and blossoms in us, it drives out all of the darkness. It drives out the things that are unlike God. Come on, church of the living God. We must be like him. It's not some of your way and some of his way. It's all of his way. I was reading in Corinthians the other day, and I'm going to end with this. And I think this is what even started me with this whole thing, and probably why I awakened with it this morning. I looked at, the Bible says that the children of Israel all came out of Egypt under the same cloud. They all came by the same power of God. They came out of Egypt with the same opportunity. Not one had more opportunity than the other. Not one had more mercy or grace than the other. They all had the same amount of mercy, the same amount of grace. Because see, when I'm preaching like this, some people say, but I can't do that. I can't do that. That's why God is giving you the grace that you need. The person who has sinned the most needs more grace than the other person. But here's the deal. When it all comes out, it levels out and we're all the same. You know, I was thinking about having glasses of water, and you put a glass with only so much water, and then you have a little bit more, and then maybe a little bit less, and then a little bit more. And the water is poured in all of the glasses. The idea is that all glasses need to be full. And so you pour the water until each one is at the same level. And that's what God did when he brought the children of Israel out. He brought them all out on the same playing field. When we're saved, when we come to Jesus Christ, we all come out on the same playing field. So you can't let your past and what people say about your past try to erase what God has done, because he gives you the grace that you need to be like Jesus. He gives all of us, not like somebody else, but like Jesus. Because oftentimes we compare ourselves to each other. No, 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 no. He gives you the grace that you need to be holy even as he is holy. He gives you the grace that you need to walk in obedience even as Jesus walked in obedience. He gives us all what we need. And so they all came out of Israel. Everybody came out under the same cloud. All came by the same power, by the same signs and wonders, the same miracles. But the ones who didn't make it were the ones who got distracted by what they saw in the world. There was something in them. The Bible says every man is drawn away by the lust of his own flesh. And so they saw the idolatry of the lands that they entered into, and they fell or were overthrown in the wilderness. Here's what God is saying to you. Don't be one of them. Because he's given you as much grace as you need with the word of God and the word and the grace of God. The Holy Spirit doing the molding and the shaping will make you into one who is holy, even as the Lord is holy. We can do this. None of us have excuses. None of us. You can't excuse yourself and say, well, you had it easier than me, or I didn't have it, I had it worse than you. No, 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 no. That's not going to work today. God is saying, come and go with me and let me show you the power of my glory, how truly my word can change you. As great as I am, so is my word. As I am, so is my word. And God is able to make you whole. He's able to make you complete. Hear the word of the Lord today and allow eternal life to be your life. Father, I thank you for every listener today. God, I pray, oh, Jesus, that we will hear, that I will hear, that all of us will hear, Lord God, that you are calling for a people that you will make into your likeness, in your image, in ways that we've not even expected to this day. I pray, Lord God, that we will hear that no matter what our station in life, where we've been, what we've done, what has happened to us, I pray, Lord God, that we will know that every one of us can be in the image of Jesus Christ. Father, I pray in Jesus' name that we will hear this word today and say, Lord God, here I am. Make me, mold me until I be what you saw from the beginning. I pray these things in Jesus' name. In Jesus' name. Amen. I pray for those of you who are believers, and I pray for you who have not come to Christ today. The word of God says that if you believe in your heart, that Jesus is the Christ and that he died for your sins, and you will confess it with your mouth, you can be saved, or you will be saved. And so I pray today that not one is left out, but that everyone who has heard, saved or unsaved, will know this one thing. Jesus came to give you new life in him. God bless you, and I'll talk to you next time.